If you will turn to page 761, Psalm number 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders. The Lord upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion to like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as ruler forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It's a safe bet that that's on page 1 of the Hebrew Bible in your pew Bible. It's probably page 1 of any Bible you'll ever find. So if you would turn to page 1 in your pew Bible, Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And it's out of our normal order, but it makes sense when you listen to the words of all of the readings. Let us now turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. In your pew Bible, that's on page 32 of the New Testament. So I welcome you to find that and follow along. This will sound familiar because we read parts of this passage 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago. But it has different meaning today. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson this morning is found in the book of Acts. Acts 19, verses 1 to 7. And it's found on page 130 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. I'd just like to point out that in making this particular section of Scripture meaningful, I'd advise you to look back a paragraph about the ministry of Apollos. But we will begin it on 19, verses 1. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized, when you became believers?" And they replied, "No, we have not even heard of the Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, as we listen to the gospel today, we realize, as we look back in the last several weeks, that the calendar of the church greatly compresses the life of Jesus. Think about that. Two Sundays ago, as we met, Jesus was a newborn baby resting in a manger. Last week, Jesus was probably a two-year-old at home with his mom. And today, one week later, Jesus is an adult, about the age of 30 years, being baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. Today's Bible readings, all of them, call us to think about beginnings. We read today about the beginning of creation in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then out of darkness and the chaos, God created light. In this second verse of the entire Bible, we first hear about a wind from God that later we would come to understand as the Holy Spirit. We read today about the beginning of John's ministry when he appeared out of the wilderness and began to proclaim and carry out a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We read today about the beginning of Jesus' adult ministry when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan with water, and then Jesus was baptized by God with the Holy Spirit in a form something like a dove. And finally, we read today about the early first century disciples of Jesus who came to understand through Paul the difference between John's baptism with water, a baptism of repentance, and a baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, which confirms in them the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want you now to think back to your own baptism. Now, if you're like me and you were baptized as a little baby, maybe you remember stories that your parents told you. Or if you were an adult at baptism, it's probably a clearer vision for you. Well, if that's tough, think back to the recent baptism of Viliami and Siosiana's little boy, Samuela, which took place on December 4th. Think about baptism. And if you haven't yet been baptized, if you know for a fact that you haven't, then you and I need to have an important conversation. So please see me if you have not yet been baptized. At the beginning of the baptismal covenant, when we have this liturgy, I make this statement to all of you in the congregation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Well, you got to admit, many of us don't fully understand what the sacrament of baptism means in the church. So here's a short partial explanation that comes from our book of worship.
Baptism is an act that looks back with gratitude on what God's grace has already accomplished. It is here and now an act of God's grace, and it looks forward to what God's grace will accomplish in the future. While baptism signifies the whole workings of God's grace, much that it signifies, from the washing away of sin to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, will need to happen during the course of a lifetime. If an act of personal Christian commitment has taken place, baptism celebrates that act and the grace of God that made it possible. If such an act has not yet taken place, baptism anticipates that act in confirmation or in the profession of faith, declares its necessity, and celebrates God's grace that will make it all possible. In either event, baptism signifies the entry of the candidate into the general ministry of all Christians. Well, you'll remember when I baptize someone with our font there in the center, I say these words as an ordained elder in the church: "My child, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." And then, just as Paul did in the reading from Acts, I place my hands on the person's head and I say these words: "The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen." Baptism is this sacrament of the United Methodist Church that recognizes God's action in your life, whether as an adult or as a baby. Well, I can splash water on a kid just like John the Baptist did, but only God can bestow the presence of the Holy Spirit. Both are important, but water is the outward sign of this sacrament, the inward grace of God. Water is the symbol that we can touch and feel. Water is that which we can see its presence all around us. But with training and discernment, we can feel and know the presence of the Holy Spirit all around us too. Well, think about the substance of water. Water, as you may know from chemistry class, is actually two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen, H2O. So simple and so amazingly abundant. It's everywhere. So valuable and yet so often taken for granted by most of us. To say that water is the matrix of human life is an understatement. To say that water is the foundation of life on earth is equally true. When you look closely, roughly 50 to 70% of your human body is made up of water. And roughly 70% of the surface of the earth is comprised of water. But just as water makes your human life possible, God's Holy Spirit makes your spiritual life possible. Well, I want to try a metaphor on you. Try this one on for size. Do you remember the science project that you probably did when you were in grade school? My guess is that it was in the first grade when you took a bean and you planted it in a styrofoam cup full of potting soil. Do you remember? I know that Carolyn does, obviously. Do you remember that experiment? Well, you watered it diligently as your teacher had instructed you. And in several days, it felt like an eternity at the time, in several days, a small green shoot broke the surface of the soil. It seemed like a true miracle to you then. And in fact, germination is a beautiful and miraculous reality of life on this earth. You added water to the nutrients in the soil and you watched in amazement as the sun warmed that styrofoam cup and a bean plant materialized up through the brown surface of the dirt. Well, your life probably seems much more complicated now than it did when you were in the first grade. But maybe it's actually simpler and more peaceful than you realize. This simplicity, this peacefulness,
are absolutely possible when you truly follow Jesus Christ. Each one of us has within ourselves the seed of a rich and meaningful spiritual life, especially for those of us who are serious about participating fully in the life of the church. The soil that provides nutrients for this spiritual seed is readily available all around us. We can plant our spiritual seed in the rich soil of Christian community by taking an active part in weekly worship services, by availing ourselves of small groups like discipleship and Bible studies, by joining the choir or United Methodist Women or United Methodist Men, we can fertilize and enrich the soil of community. Personally, each of us can set aside some time every day for Bible study, for reading and devotion, for prayer and reflection, for quiet and contemplation. And when you ask God to come more fully into your life, when you openly accept God's unconditional love, then the Holy Spirit will water this rich soil and your seed will germinate. Spiritual growth is exciting and beautiful and miraculous in its own right. Water and the Spirit. Good people, you are in the beginning days of a new month in a new year. And it's a good time to go back to the beginnings of your faith and the beginnings of your life in the church. Think about the baptism of Jesus and think about your very own baptism. My sisters and brothers, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.